Welcome to Star for the Universe On-Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've been SLB Online, Deadcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Joseph Manhattan joins us for a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on phones to dial 605-562-0444 to follow the directions, and the call is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for Quality 17702 or SLB On-Call or Star for the Universe On-Call. Or if you want the best online experience, yes, you want to go to twitch.tv at twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you'll find us there. You'll be able to join the chat room and have a wonderful time. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on the SFUOnCall podcasting account or the Paul Franz, my personal account, or Franz Games, FRANZGAMES. There's no T in that, and that is my business account. And of course, I also have my two Blue Sky accounts. One is sfuoncall.bsky.social. The other one's franzgames.com. Obviously, the sfuoncall one is for the podcast, is my podcasting account. I have not yet posted anything there, but I should start doing that shortly. So, quick news from this week, which is nothing really new from them. It's been relatively quiet on their side. I'm assuming that Gene is still proofreading the Orion Master Starship book. Now, the final online store for this week, we had the B-10 Heavy Metal Stand. This, for those of you who happen to grab one of those, like the Klingon B-10 miniatures, this is the old metal miniatures. They're just, we are really heavy. The old stands, the other stands that I talked about, I think it's probably last week, those stands, they'll bend. Or I think it might have been 2 weeks ago now. Yeah, actually it was 2 weeks ago. But those regular stands for the metal ones will actually start to bend because of the miniature is so heavy. And the B-10 metal stand is specifically designed for such a heavy miniature. So moving onward and forward, of course, the SFB Online tournaments. We have the 500 BPV tournament. Multi games are still going on. Also, when it comes to the Sapphire Star 18 tournament, they still have yet to play that. Hopefully, Metal Dog and Bill Schiller will get going on that. When it comes to online client stuff, not much happening this week when it comes to that. Hoping to get move forward in that regard. When it comes to Starfleet Warlord, actually Starfleet Warlord, I had to restart Die Hard 57, and that's going to be, you know, I allow people to redo their builds, redo their sector specials. Basically, I screwed up at a critical point in the game, not realizing that was a critical point in the game, and more importantly, I missed running a person's turn. And because of that, it's not going to happen. Now, given that I could not start it this weekend, I said, okay, I can start it next week because this weekend I'm way too busy doing other things. And when it comes to library, there's not much going on there. It's relatively quiet. And so with that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, I'm Paul Franz, and welcoming you to Star from the Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And of course, you have Wah, the best part of the whole podcast. Come on. You're all looking for me, right? Right? Am I wrong? Well, I might be wrong, but I don't know that. But anyhow, let me check something. I don't know if I'm doing. Okay, I am. Okay. This one, make sure that I was broadcasting because I don't see it in the Twitch app, which might be just because of moi. Okay. Da-da-da. Profile? There it is. Trying to figure out what I'm doing. Twitch
Oh, welcome to life.
Yeah. Well, Twitch was doing something weird. But anyhow, tonight we're going to continue on the merry way of my game. And actually, I need to email the guy to say which day, because we're definitely going to be getting up, matching up again this weekend. I'm probably going to say Sunday versus Saturday, because on Sunday, I think there's certain things I want to get done on Saturday, and so I'm going to probably push to Sunday. Yeah. So. Okie dokie. So, let me bring that up. I'm going to go over here. Where we left out our intrepid. Okay, let me make sure about one thing. That's what I thought. Delete that one. I got some screenshots, which I have, which are just, they're junk. So, this one, and this is, oops, that's an old one, I think. Right, I want to get things proper order, excuse me, because that's that. Okay, so you left the intrepid, impulse four. Turn four, impulse 32. So let me just, I'm pretty sure I got it right now. Okay, that's the one. Okay, so. Bring up that so y'all can see it, which is basically doing what invariably I'm doing. I am running. Are you seeing that? Like, from the looks of it, looks no. Yeah, you're not seeing it. Oh, I bet you. I'm a dummy head. Don't mind me.
Okay.
Mind me later. Okay, there. And hide. That's the one I wanted to show. Because on this screenshot, I'm actually on Impulse 511, basically. In my normal hi-ho silver way, he's chasing me. I know you can't quite see it because it's behind this the game control window, but actually no, here you can see it right here. They're right here, and they're currently at range 16 through 18 because of the way I'm grouped, because I've been turning and turning and turning. So I'm running away towards the upper left-hand corner of the map. And of course, right now I'm in like hex 5316. So I've got plenty of room to run west. Not so much north. I'm running out of room north to a certain degree. So this one is, don't mind me. Okay, that's 611. Okay, keep doing that all the way. This is the one, right? Yeah. To the end of the turn. At the end of the turn, actually what I do is I took me a little bit of time, obviously, but I turned around, so I'm heading directly south. This is on column 45. So it took me a little bit of time, but, you know, I got turned around. We're still, you know, 16 and 17 on the distance from him. Now, I'm trying to remember this, whether he, I think he might, he fired his, I think he fired his photons on turn four, so he won't have his photons available until the upcoming turn. So we're coming straight down, basically, turn five was pretty uneventful. He was chasing me. I was running. And then just trying to get turned around so that obviously I can actually hit him with my particle cannons again. Right. This is what? Okay. This is a few impulses later on the 6.3, I turned around to him. Actually, we're facing dead on. He's facing me. I'm on his number one. I'm on his number one. At that point, he decided to fire a few phaser. Actually, this was me. I fired 11 particle cannons at his DD2. Of course, unfortunately, at this range, and I had enough ECCM to counteract his 1 point of ECM. And so I knocked down his shield on DD2 down to 5 boxes. To say the very least, it's starting to get beat up there. And this is good. At this point, I forget when this is. Yeah, I'll make sure I got this right. Yeah, this is correct. I'm doing. He's got 2 photons knocked down on DD2. Right side phasers are gone. Phaser ones are gone.
Is that 2 photons destroyed or that he can't use them?
The 2 photons are destroyed on the ship.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
That's a nice start.
Yeah, it was very nice. He also, on that same impulse, he fired some phasers at my Deltorian, got 4 points of damage, which I had reinforcement because I only had a two box shield on shield number one, so I was able to knock that down. This is impulse. Yeah, this is 6.11, where I actually fired the DD2, and what happens? Dun, 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 I get 7 internals. With the 7 internals, I actually got a center warp, an Oxcon. What a one. 3 AWR and a center warp, so I got 4 power, which is always awesome, and another photon. So by 6.11, he's down to 1 single photon on that ship. So, which is, to me...
How close is he getting to cripple status?
This DD2. Yeah, it's DD2. That's one thing I do not know. Because at this point, I've just brought it up, the status of his ship. He's got 1 photon. So 3 photons are dead. 1 lab. 2 phaser 1s. Basically, he's not really close to crippled. He's got he's down to 13 warp. Sorry. Yeah, 13 warp total. Because all 4 AWRs are gone. And 2 center warp are gone. So he's not.
He's lost like 75% of his firepower, sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. He got a lot of his firepower gone. Shield number 5 is 5 boxes. Shield number 6 and 2 are gone. So, which is good. One thing he does later on in the game, actually, I'm not sure if this shows it or not. Okay, continue on to actually the end of the turn. Now he does something. Okay, it was an accident, not an accident, kind of thing. He decided on the last impulse of the turn, he headed all of his destroyers towards me.
Oh,
now
he has a bad breakdown rating, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. 3 to 6.
He's taken that chance like five times.
Yes, he is. Now,
Did any of them break down?
one broke it down. DD5.
Yes.
And
And that's not the one you were shooting.
that was not the one I was shooting. So he got.
That's even better. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so obviously he got the every fifth box on warp, so three warp are gone. And also two internals, which are actually end up being just like center hull.
And his breakdown rating went down one.
Yes, breakdown rating down one. So now it's 2-6, to 3-6.
For that guy.
The reason why I say what I said was basically because of he went to Het, and I went, "Are you sure about that?" He's like, "Yeah," and I told him I reminded him what the breakdown rating of his ships are, and then he went, "Oh," because he thought with the Het bonus that they would be a free Het. Yeah,
Surprise, not a regular tournament. Yeah. Not a tournament.
this is Destroyer, and the Destroyer has breakdown ratings at 3-6, and to me it was just frustrating to say the very least. Because of he had five ships and only broke down one. It's like, really, guys? You couldn't give me two?
Well, the thing is, Paul, with the two rating plus two, that's only a
Okay, one
three to
third
five,
chance.
three to six. Yeah,
Yeah.
so that's acceptable.
Yeah, oh, understood.
I'd be happy to take because he just blew his frickin' head bonus too.
Right.
So now he's got a 3-6 on all the rest. Because he's bonus.
Yep. Basically, he probably will never do that again because he's got one third chance for all the rest to actually succeed. So,
Well, yeah, but now it's he's got a 3-6.
and
Oh, yeah.
here's the funny part. I'm looking at his die rolls right now. With a one third chance, he was actually successfully hit three out of the five because he rolled a two, a three, a one, and a five.
Oh, yeah, but that's Mach next. That's under the bridge
Oh, I know,
because
I know, I
what
know.
he did for the moment, what he did for the moment was with a one third chance of breaking down, as he managed to avoid having more than one.
Yep. And okay, well, we'll continue on because it tells part of the story. Okay. Now,
But that's interesting.
yeah, oh yeah. And here's my number one. He's really beating up on my number one heavy cruiser. The point though, he's got internal, he's got warp damage. He's got he knocked down my shield number six. Early on, I've got a couple forward hull damage on my left side. Phasers are gone. Actually, my left side phaser threes are gone. This is early on still. Moving on to the first impulse, the first thing I do, because we're so close, is that I there's two things I did for the beginning of turn seven. Number one, I went speed zero because of I was in the, I figured there's no way I'm gonna be able to get turned around. He also went speed zero. Big surprise. And he went speed zero because da-da-da-da, DD5, who broke down, can't move for the first 16 impulses of the turn.
So he's circling the wagons.
Right. So
Respect that guy.
he just kept them all in the same hex. Now, the first thing I did was actually I because of we are only within range 13. That means he's got a 1-4 to hit on proc photons. And first impulse, boom, every single ship I have, I start EM4. So they all have an ECM of either 10, 9 or 10. The one destroyer that was beat up some, that got the initial prox photon hit on turn number two. That one is the only ECM of 9 instead of 10, which is fine.
Oh man, he's so vulnerable.
Yeah. Now, one thing I okay, da, 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 and move here. Now, this is actually the end of the turn. During the turn, one thing I did was that the first 8 impulses, what I did was I had allocated 2 warp tacks and 1 impulse tack so that I can basically, I'm originally was facing direction C. Then I went to impulse 2. I went from C to B with a warp tack from B to A on an impulse tack on impulse 3, and then waited until impulse 8, and then I turned all the way to direction F, so that I had a nice fresh shield number 3, which was a nice fresh shield, against my opponent. So I had the hardest thing to hit to knock down. I end up the turn on a range 13 and 14, not exactly great, but he didn't fire his photons during the whole turn, which is, of course, part of that is DD5 can't fire because of post breakdown. Going into this is where I'm going to hear it from Doug. Rightly so. What happened on turn 8? Turn 8, I went, I'm pretty darn close. Why don't I try to go for an overloaded shot? So I turn in towards him. Mm. He split off his DD2 from the other destroyers. Because, he really didn't care about that one. That one, he knew was going to die. And I think, for the most part, he was trying to put that up as a sacrificial lamb. That, hey, beat on this ship. Leave my other ships alone. Which I didn't take debate on that. But I turn in, which, of course, there's a problem with turning in to try to get that range 8 shot. You have to get through the range 13 to 9 bracket with the prox photons. Now, range 10, I fire my what's it, 4? Yeah. I have 4 web breakers left. I have one on my destroyer, 2 on my one heavy cruiser, and 1 on my other heavy cruiser. I hit with 1. And that was on DD5. So I figured it's time to switch my target. My target's gonna be DD5. Big surprise because it's already gotten some damage. So let's rack it up. Let's rack it up. Now the problem is he fired on me and he got 48 damage on shield number 2, which only has 22 strength. So it's a pretty good shield at that point. But 48 points of damage, 4 points of reinforcement, so I got 22 internals onto my heavy cruiser number 1. They were at least okay. That's my destroyer. It did not look good for that one. I will bring up the actual client and show you what the current status of those ships are. But destroyer number 5. That shield number 1 is down. 1 of the photons is gone. I got 3 phaser 1s are gone. Batteries are gone. Warp is down to 11. 11 center warp, and he still has the 4 AWR. And on the left side, he has no phasers at all. The phaser 1s and the phaser 3s are gone. So he's having issues there. Now, he also beat up on my destroyer impulse 20. So my destroyer is in really, really bad shape. If you actually are looking, for those of you on the video, you'll notice that I have absolute no center warp. Oh, sorry, no left warp, no right warp. I've got 6 center warp, 4 APR, and no impulse. I have no particle cannons, no web breakers. I have 2 phaser ones. That be it, folks. At the very least, it's not looking good for that poor destroyer. Okay, let me
Is he close enough that he could do a kamikaze run?
Well,
after launching a couple shuttles.
Well, he already had to launch a couple of shuttles. We started having fighters, little shuttle
fleets.
Yeah, so little shuttle flights of shuttles going forward. Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Oops, wrong. Bring up the new game window. Bring that up. That up. And bring up 500 BP round 1. Yes, yes. Okay. Do-do-do. Game successful. Okay, and my... Where's my mine? Mine. There it is. Okay, my destroyer, as I showed earlier, it's pretty bad off. It ain't going to be moving very fast. Obviously, it's crippled at this point. It's kind of obvious to me at this point.
Well, the thing is, he's not going to be moving very fast either.
Yeah, that's true. He's not been moving fast the whole game.
That guy explodes at range 0. He could damage all of them.
Yep. Agreed.
Not that I would say do that, because if he can still move faster than them, you might like disengage him or get him out of the way for a while.
Yeah, that's the one thing I have to debate about, which is, should I just basically have him disengage, or at least try to disengage, because of if he does destroy the ship, it's worth more victory points to him than if it is just a damaged ship which disengages.
My big question is, he's probably gonna try to kill it. So if you're gonna do that, just point them straight away from them towards your disengagement.
Mm-hmm.
Reinforce your shield as much as you can, having everything ECM max and but also with trying to get your speed at max.
Right.
Just to negate the possibility of the phaser ones coming into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's max speed. It's going to be speed 12.
But you can expect that one to be a sponge, a photon sponge in 2 turns.
Possibly. My guess is he's going to ignore the destroyer myself.
You could be right, but on the other hand, if it's worth more victory points and he thinks he can blow it up,
he'd rather fire on my heavy cruiser, which is pretty beat up at this moment in time.
Well, he's got his choices to make too. So
right. Okay, let me see. That's 2.
If you think he'll ignore it, you could reinforce his shield, run it into point blank range, use your tractors to break up his formation.
That's true.
You know, and be a pain in the butt by pumping a bunch of phasers and, you know, all your remaining weapons into them, mm-hmm. into one boats.
That's true. That is the one benefit of running it right towards his fleet is basically giving him a choice of either let it come in. It doesn't have many weapons, but it can bring them into close range. And try to avoid that, because I'm going to be as fast as he's going.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think he's going to go any time. I don't think he's going to go above speed 12.
Yeah, don't count on it because, yeah, he could make a similar thought and try to get his cripple guy away and just write it off as something he's not going to use.
Understood. Yeah, the problem is my heavy cruiser number one lost what, four, six phaser ones of the eight phaser ones it has. Lost two
Yeah,
of the
that's tough.
four particle cannons, one of the two web breakers. It's down to, let me see, total of, okay, we got
Is anything
six.
you have in danger of exploding?
This one?
Him. Is any of his ships in danger of exploding?
No. Because the big thing that's keeping him from doing that is his center warp. That's what
Yeah, at the moment.
kept him going. Because I go here. Da-da-da, charts, weapons. I'm sorry, wrong one. I didn't want to bring up weapons. What I wanted to do is bring up the miscellaneous. Because on this one, I have damage allocation chart. See, center warp is, to get it, you have to get through. To get the center warp, you have to get through all the hull and all the battery.
Yeah, he's got a nice set of armor in front of it for the most part.
Right. And it only hit
But
on a
they're all
seven.
so small ships.
Yeah. It's hit on
So
a seven.
if you're focusing fire on them, it's not going to take that much to get through
Right.
on a given ship.
Right. So, the problem with the heavy cruiser is that basically the front shields are gone. I got two boxes on shield number one, which I actually, that's the one I repaired. To have two boxes. Or, earlier
Oh,
in the.
he can run away and repair stuff too.
Yeah. I can. Let me see. I should be able
Did you
to.
get your shot in?
What's that?
Did you get your second shot with particle cannons in?
No. Not for that. Not for the last one because I didn't overload. So I used all. I didn't. After I fired overload, I turned away, so I had no opportunity to actually do a second fire shot. Now I did do one. I forget what turn. I did do one turn where I did fire twice. Was able to actually fire twice on him. Blah, blah, blah. And his SSDs, DD4 is fresh. DD5. That's the one I beat up some. DD2 is the one that's really been beaten, and then of course DD3 and DD at 17 it was DD1. He accidentally renamed it. They're fresh. You got three fresh destroyers, one that's basically pretty beat up. It still has a photon and still has plenty of warp to fire that photon, because it only has one photon. That's DD2. In DD5, it's got only three photons, but the fortunate part is that a lot of his phasers are gone. But that is the issue. That's what happened with my heavy cruiser, which is at one point he actually fired quite a few phasers at range 8. Right, this was mine. That was his. That's their own as well. Right. There was this one time where basically he had some with a shift, some without a shift. There it is. And on that one, he got. Yeah, a battery, two phaser ones, an Oxcon, four impulse. He blew away the impulse engines going. Right warp and left warp. That was when. Da-da-da. 812. So it was this last turn when he did that. And that's when I fired away everything at him at range 8. I did a good number. A number. He got it. Yeah, that's the 11 Eternals. That's when I got the 14 Eternals on his DD5.
I just had a thought.
Yes.
I just had an important thought for you.
What's that?
Okay, you know how you got the SSDs where you have the numbers now?
Uh-huh.
Instead of the boxes?
Mm-hmm.
How about setting a color code that shows the percentage? So it's easier to visualize.
Mm-hmm. That's good and bad. Because at the moment, the box does show kind of a percentage of how many boxes are left. It's because in the case of, let's say, the left warp, it's down to 4. But you can see by looking at the box that it started with 8. Now, and the one thing I have a problem with, are you saying instead of giving the number of boxes available, just give the percentage of boxes?
Well, you could do both. I mean, you could have a color shading where it's like a fill-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, thing loading or whatever, except it just shows how much has been knocked off. Because it's just a visual thing, and it's like it helps with conceptualization. Because
mm-hmm.
looking at the picture, the numbers are kind of small, and it doesn't all click easily. But if you had all the boxes where they're all dotted in or colored in, it's easy to see and add a snapshot. You know what I'm saying?
Understood.
It's also much more visually appealing to see, like, Del Torin with, like, a whole bunch of, like, filled-in boxes versus, you know, it looks the same, basically, except you can't quite see what the numbers are to assess what the damage is. Or the whatever the ship is.
Yeah. Well, are you suggesting changing the representation of the boxes currently? Instead of having a number,
yeah, actually,
show the number of boxes?
No.
Okay,
here's the thing. Traditional SSD that Steve Cole is not letting you use right now.
Correct.
Okay. Had all those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've got now is one big box with a number in it.
Right.
Okay. And that one big box with the number looks the same.
Right.
The number could be 1 or 20, and it doesn't look like the ship is damaged, even though you and I know it's damaged.
Right.
But from a visual representation, it looks the same as if it's an undamaged ship.
Oh, understood.
But if you have one that has the traditional, all these little boxes all over the SSD, and the boxes are filled in with X's or they're filled in with a color, then you can see how much damage is on the thing at a glance without having to read the little numbers.
Right.
The tiny little numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. But
right.
what you could do is you outline each of those boxes more so they stand out. Like a instead of like a 0.5 line, you have like a 0.1 or a 0.2, so that the box itself is much more visible. And then the interior of the box, you could fill with color. And the color, how much of the box is filled, you know, like a loading bar,
right? But
indicates how much of that system is left in that particular set of boxes.
Yeah, I already have the loading bar, the progression bar, in it. The one thing that, as you point out, is lost with conversion is the boxes are previously when the boxes, you know, one box represent one damage, one system box.
One system box.
And you could easily look at an SSD and see how badly it was damaged.
That's exactly what I just said, yes.
Yeah, well, I know. But that was basically due to the proportionality of, okay, each damage point represented a certain box of the same size. Each damage point had a box that had a certain size, and those were sizes were all the same. Now,
right.
Currently, we have it so that we have one box, but it has a number in it which represents a value of basically the size of the box.
Which is what I'm complaining about.
Right, right.
Now, I'm an old guy.
Understood. Now, we did a little bit of that on this. This is a poor representation, but a better one, which is with the shields, trying to make them larger bars versus just a little box. And so, like DD5, you can see that the kind of progress bar of like shield number two, it's got 7 here of 18, and you can see it's a little more than half of it's gone.
Yeah, the other thing you could do is just fill out an SSD that's not a conversion SSD, so we could see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Understood.
To me, that's like one of the... It's just another bad choice.
Yeah, well...
Made for whatever good reason that they thought it was.
Well, the issue, as you know, the reason why Nicole wanted me to do that was plain and simple, which was that had issues with people... The amount of sales when it comes to the modules that the ship modules went down after I made available the ships in the library. And whether
I think that it's not necessarily just the
agreed. Doug, this is not an argument you're gonna get from me.
I know. I'm not trying to make it into an argument. I'm just saying that would be helpful with the visual representation of the game, especially when you're trying to explain how your status of your ships and stuff. So, at any rate, what's your current status there, Paul?
My current status is really screwed. That's what it is. I've got basically half a ship left, and on one of my heavy cruisers. I've got one pristine heavy cruiser and one pristine destroyer left.
How far away are you from him?
At this moment in time, let me go do this. Let me just bring up the where is it? Utilities. There it is. Utilities. Gonna bring up the range tracker. There it is. Currently, we're at range 10 with heavy cruiser at range 9. Here he is. Now, this is at the end of turn 8. His DD5 is a little farther away, actually. If I let me do add a quick add that and for DD5. So DD5, we're like range 11, but DD2 is range 9 because that's this. DD2 is at the lead position at range 9. Now, DD17, the first one, there's this group of three right here, which is the undamaged ones. So
sounds like you could get to range 8 and like overload and kill that one that's really close to you.
Yeah, the DD2.
Pop some phaser into them as well.
Yeah, that's the one thing I had. Okay, what? Okay, close that.
I mean, if you lost a bunch of heavy weapons on that one cruiser, you could run that one away to repair some weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And have all that extra power for, you know, damage sponge time.
Yep. Actually, that's funny. I have to look up the amount of how much it costs to repair a PC. I know it's not crazy like a Hellbore, which is like 30 points. But
no, it's a fairly light weapon as far as damage goes. But it does it every turn, so.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be too horrible. I think, is it range based on how much it costs to do? That's another question.
What do you mean range based?
Well, like disruptors. If you destroy
them. Oh, yeah. Them. Oh, one of those things.
Range capacities.
That's a good question. Actually, I don't know if particle cannons, if you have short range particle cannons. I know disruptors you do. You have variable ranges that go from range 10. I think that one's range 10. The other one's like range 22 or maybe 15. And
so here's a quick question. Okay.
Okay.
You guys are held to normal scenario repairs, right?
Yeah, which means you can do EDR and regular DAMCON.
Right.
CDR. So, EDR and CDR.
But the gist of it is you can't repair a lot of systems.
That is correct.
So if you were to get out of a decent engagement range and spend a few turns repairing stuff, would your hurt cruiser be in better shape than his hurt destroyers? Or do you think it's time to go for a knife fight?
Wow.
Because if you go for a knife fight and he's not expecting it and he loads proxies, you could have a massive advantage on him.
True. Point.
And status. You could literally just say, okay, we're going to get to range 0 and, you know, all my phaser 1s in that ship, see if it explodes, and all my particle cannons next if it doesn't. And if it does, then all my particle cannons and my shield breakers go into the next ship.
Yeah, he fired his photon gun this turn, impulse 12.
Oh, if he did that this turn,
mm-hmm.
You should overrun his ass. Did he fire his phasers?
Yeah. Yeah, go check him up.
And you're that. Just run his ass over. Because he's got one ship that's further away from you. You know, go in on an attack where you've got like your 6 or 2 shield on him, and then just get in close and just start butchering him. Because he can't, individually, he can't stand up to the damage you can do. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go in and you get into a range where your shield breakers are not like a 50-50 shot, and you can literally just do the math and say, okay, if half of them hit, how many phasers do I need to blow this ship up and use that many phasers and save everything else for the next ship and blow up or absolutely cripple one of his ships and then blow up or cripple another ship and then turn away and get back out of range 8 before he can decide to load up
Yeah, well.
overloads instead of proxies on the next turn after that. Or if you get in there and you blow away one of his ships and you cripple another one, and you have enough weapons that you could Mitzia another ship, do it. Maybe he'll concede. Maybe he'll run away. Maybe he'll explode.
That'd be
Or
good.
maybe he'll have enough photons to blow up all of your ships. I don't know. I think that's without using a het, closing on him
Oh, that should be enough.
and
Yeah.
closing on him with some overloaded stuff is the thing to do right now. I think you're in that, it sounds like you're in that position without actually seeing it.
Right. True.
If he has a reload turn coming up,
That's gonna be the
toast.
next turn is gonna be a reload turn for his photons. All of them have been fired.
And here's the fun part. If he goes into retrograde, that's fine too. Yeah. Then you could literally turn away. If he goes into a retrograde thing in anticipation, but he's being at speed 12 forward, you said? Speed 14, something like that.
Yeah, the fastest he's gone is like speed 12.
But he didn't, but he's not in retrograde.
No, he's not
So
done the retrograde
is he
yet.
pointed at you? Is he
Yes.
pointed at you?
Yes.
My God, yes. Please just turn and you don't ha you could use some midterm speed changes real quick. Get within range 8. Blow ships to hell. You know. And that is my advice for you.
Okay.
Just overrun them if you can. And if you can't, that's okay. Get an oblique attack, blow him away, and try to get out to range 9 so that he's got a, you know, he's got a bad, hard decision. If you cripple another of his ships by clipping range 8 and getting a second shot in, or you blow up one of his ships doing that, okay. If you end a turn with one or two of his ships blown up and or crippled, then he's done. I mean, even if he overloads on two of them, he's got to really jackpot it to kill one of your ships. If he's got his one ship far away, four ships close to you, and you can cripple or destroy two of those four ships, do it because you'll be able to bring a whole bunch of firepower to bear on Impulse One of that next turn. I think it's time to get super aggressive, but not stupid aggressive. Because you don't want to het
That is true.
with your het ratings.
No.
You know, even though I've seen you do it and win a game by multiple doing it's with a win pig,
Yep.
you know, what, 3 times in one game, one tournament, I will never let you forget that.
I know you won't. Yeah,
But,
breakdown's four
you know,
six.
one on, yeah, exactly.
No, my luck, I roll all sixes.
Yeah. Or, but even one is devastating for you.
Right. Oh, agreed. Agreed. That number of ships I've got. Yeah.
So that's my two cents on it. I think you're actually in a better position than you think you are. And like I've said it before, sometimes you have to really look at it from his position more than yours. You know, what's his decisions to do? Because if you're clipping range 9 on one of his ships right now, you're at the end of the turn. He's got a reload turn. When that reload turn is done, is he going to have all of his ships in an overload range? Or is he going to have, like, one ship blown up because you managed to clip range 8 on it? And then he's got 3 remaining. Well, of the 3 of those, what's he going to do with his 12 photons? Because if you turn in at him and you get, and let's say, here's a hypothetical for you. You turn in at him at that ship you're at range 9 at, and just using some speed changes to negate using a hit, you manage to get range 8, and you pump all your remaining shield breakers into that ship, followed by as many phaser ones as you think as it'll take to blow that ship up, and maybe a few particle cannons, and you blow that ship up, he's got 3 ships left. That's 12 photons. You've got whatever remaining weapons you have to pump into another individual random ship of those 3 ships. You pump them into that one ship. You're probably going to drop his shield. Hopefully you'll drop his shield and do a few internals. Maybe you'll get a photon. Maybe you won't. But if you can clip it out, if you can turn away then and get out to range 9 again, what's he going to do? Is he going to load photons as proxies when you could turn back? Or is he going to load them as overloads, thinking that you're going to try and overrun them again? Yeah. Well, or is he going to turn away and disengage?
Well, given that currently I'm facing away from him, I would think that for next turn, because the thing is, when it comes to proximity photons, you have to do it from the beginning.
No, you don't.
You don't?
No, you load as standards, and on the second turn of arming, you choose.
Oh, okay.
And here's the fun part. He can spend another turn changing them back, but he has to wait to the next turn to change them back.
I don't think that's quite the case.
They're kind of flexible. Okay, but the problem is you're stuck with them for a turn once they're armed.
Okay.
So, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
yeah. Well, that's what I was going to look up real quick. Because photon torpedoes. Proximity fuses. Warhead must record as such on the second turn of arming. Yes, you are correct. When tolling, now this must be marked with a P. It must be announced as such when fired. There's no cost. The proxies can only be installed or removed during energy allocation. Oh, so it can be removed.
Yes.
Okay, you're welcome. I've been fully charged, hell without cost. There's no energy cost for changing over. Note, however, the proximity fused photons cannot be overloaded. It is possible to convert a proximity fused photon to an overload. It is possible to convert a proximity fused to an overload type. Simply remove the proximity during energy allocation. Then on the same phase, or a later one, add overloaded energy. It is not possible to convert an overloaded photon to a prox Somebody fused type one because there's no way to unoverload the weapon.
Right. So they're basically slightly more flexible than you were thinking they were.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, and here's the thing, you know, this thought just hit me while you were starting to go off about the proxies there, starting to talk about that. You're facing away from them. That's fine. You can slow down. You can make him close on you by doing side slips instead of going straight forward.
Right.
While you're waiting to do your turns, and use the turns to get you turned back towards them. So, and basically do kind of a weird little orbit around his first ship. And you're going to break that 8 bracket unless he turns away from you. You know, he really might not be able to stop you from doing it. And, you know, just try to get around and get in that forward arc. What are the arcs on your heavy weapons?
They're front arc.
They're all front arc?
All front arc.
Including the shield breakers?
Including the web breakers, yes.
Okay. So that's kind of my two cents. The problem is if you star castle, he could just turn. He can avoid getting into overload range. And then he gets to, you give him the initiative. If you try to hit, then you run a worse risk than he does because you have fewer ships and the same horrible kind of breakdown rating. So any loss is catastrophic to you. Yeah, I say just turn back at him and try to overrun his formation. And even if you can't overrun his formation, if you can still get into the range 8 bracket and you can get into forward arc, even if it's impulse 30 toe, do it. You know. Because he's probably banking on you trying to run and play a ranged game.
Right. Yeah, I agree there.
And if that's what he's banking on, and it's like, what are the arcs on your phaser ones?
That's a little different.
I know they're not all going to be just FA.
Yeah. FA plus L, FA plus R. And then we got some left side and right side phasers.
Okay. So if you were to side slip once, forward, side slip, and he just goes forward, and he doesn't match that, you could actually close the range to range 8, turn, and have a whole bunch of phaser ones on him at range 8.
That's true.
And if he's got a down shield towards you or a weakened shield towards you, you could maybe Mitzia that ship. Or you can wait until towards the end of the turn. The thing with overloading your particle cannons is, what does he do in reaction to you slowing down and trying to turn back at him? You know? Do you think you'll be able to get into a forward arc firing solution and still be able to have a second shot within that turn? That's going to be the big critical part about your energy allocation.
Yeah. Very true.
So, I think it's worth it to do it like that and possibly consider taking your guy that lost most of his weapons, separating him from your main fleet to go repair his stuff. Because if he wants to keep going after that ship, but that ship goes forward instead of side slipping, then You can use that ship to bait his other ships into coming after you. God, I hope he's not listening to this. But you see what I'm saying? That is a possibility for you.
True. True.
And if you have a, how many shuttles do you have on the board?
Currently, I've got.
Out in space.
Yeah, give me a sec. I've got six.
Are they in a stack together?
Very close. They're two on two in each hex at the moment. And they're all within one hex of each other. So they're like a group of the three hexes together. And they're two hexes from a group of four Federation shuttles.
Oh man, you should just dogfight those guys. Go kill all of his shuttles with your shuttles.
Yeah.
And you can use that as a stack that you can run towards later. And have you dropped any T-bombs yet?
No, that's one thing I've been thinking about a little bit, and tough part obviously is
Here's a thought. Here's a thought for you. If you think he's going to pursue you, and I think he is, you get a couple of them out now. Don't be stingy with them. You can drop one. Just start peppering them out. One here, one there. Side slip to, and this is just a hypothetical. Let's say you're pointed away from him. He's at you at range 8 or 9, and you think he's going to pursue you at 9 and 12 for his ships. You drop a T bomb, side slip to your right, keep side slipping to your right, drop another T bomb, side slip to your right, and so forth. And then to close the range, in addition to the side slipping, turn to your left.
Okay.
And then side slip away from him continuously until you can turn to your left again. And you can have a couple of T bombs spread out where if he continues to pursue, he's gonna have to go around them or through them. And if you drop them off every two hexes, for say 4 hexes of them, then you're gonna be able to use those to find out what shields he's reinforced or force him to turn away or force him to go through them. And if he turns away either way, that breaks up his plan. If he goes through them, because it's only one T bomb, then he's going to take damage on his shields,
Right.
which is going to benefit you in the long run.
Oh yeah, the bit I at the moment I doubt that he would want to actually overrun a T bomb just for the plain simple fact that he's only got 20-point shields, so that's half
Yeah.
his shield.
So that's a major annoyance for him. And if he does, what it'll force him to do is it'll force him to, say, sideslip into them or turn into them in a way where he's taking the damage on a shield that's not facing you. It all benefits you in the long run. And if they're out there on the map later on, you can, orbit them to force a problem for him. Do you have 4 T-bombs per ship?
4 T-bombs are the maximum amount for a heavy cruiser, and 2 T-bombs are maximum for destroyers.
That wasn't the answer. Do you have maximum T-bombs for each ship?
This is why I do not want to answer
Oh,
that
okay.
is
Gotcha. I'm sorry. Yeah, I understand. You don't want to give it away. If you have some T bombs, that would be a good spot to use at least 2 of them, maybe 3. In that little arc that you make, side slipping to the right before you turn to the left, or the other way if you decide to side slip to the left and then turn to the right.
Okay.
So that's a potential thing for you. And honestly, I would seriously suggest if you have any kind of superiority in shuttles, go kill his shuttles with your shuttles. So that you can then have your shuttles. You don't have to worry about his shuttles.
Right.
And whatever survives is a floating stack of doom for him.
Right, right.
Especially if you get into a spot where you crippled each other to nine ways to Sunday.
Oh, agreed. That was one thing I was starting to think about with the way the game was going. It's not about, you know, if we're all crippled and we're basically going very slow. He's already going very slow. My shuttle can go speed six. In theory, they could go faster. Because you're allowed to buy warp booster packs. So they could go speed 12. The problem is, that means only 3 points of damage and they're boom.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, they die a lot faster. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
It's a trade-off, and I don't think it's worth it in this particular instance.
Oh, agreed. You want something that's good. You're going to want to have something that actually survives.
Yep.
So, okay, well...
I know that's a radical concept, but there it is.
I know. Well, I think we need to wrap it up for the evening.
Pluggy time. Plug.
Yes, pluggy time.
Well, like I said before, I haven't heard yet about... if we're going to have this venue for winter next year yet, but we do have it for Labor Day as a reminder for everybody out there. And I did do a smaller poster, and I put one of the versions up on the Facebook thread, South Central PA Gamers Convention thing, where, but I changed the group picture to the summer poster, and I put the actual event up and changed the stuff on the website. So there's that. I have not opened registration yet. I'm going to do that in the spring. But for printing purposes, anybody wants to print out a copy or two and put it out at their game shop or laundromat or wherever they think, you know, on their work cork board, if they have a cork board in their workplace, at their lunchroom or whatever, there you go. You never know what'll come out of the woodwork from wherever you put these things. There's that. That's about all I got as far as that goes at the moment. I'm sure I'll think of something else after we're done talking.
That's fine. Okay, well, you have a good night.
Thanks for having me on, Paul.
You're welcome. Okay. So, talk through the game again, and obviously I'm doing a little worse off because I decided, oh, that I can go over a little range. Yeah, good move. And that's when he said, oh, phasers away, my friend. That's like, oh, man. And photons away, because the to get to overload range, you have to go through the good range, the 1-4 range, so there's proc photons. So it hurt. But, you know, we'll have to wait. All seeds, I have to contact him about playing on Sunday, because he said either one. I don't know. This was also last weekend, so it's running out of time for me to tell him. And I don't want to tell him at the very last minute. That'd be very bad. Because he's in Arizona, it's a 2-hour difference, but that's not bad. So the weekends during the afternoon are always good. So we can probably play between 12 and 4 Eastern time on Sunday. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.